All right, Wall fans, Common Censors, podcast consumers, welcome to another extremely exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 126. That's right, on this fine rainy Sunday in Los Angeles, coming at you with our first episode of April 2024. I know we had a little unplanned break there. I'll get into why that was. It was mostly scheduling issues, but before we do that, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, for episodes, after episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/go tell it to the wall. That's right, facebook.com/go tell it to the wall. That's our official Facebook page, going to keep you up to date on all new episodes, new content, new concepts, all that great stuff. So if you're a Facebook user, make sure you follow that page. And of course, we have our YouTube channel, youtube.com/go tell it to the wall, or at go tell it to the wall. Either one of those will take you directly there on YouTube, or even if you just search go tell it to the wall, it's going to be the first one that comes up. So make sure you subscribe and check back there for all of our video content. That's going to include the video feeds. For those of you that only listen to the audio, if you're interested in actually watching the video feeds, which is just my lovely face yelling at a wall, you can do that through YouTube. So make sure you're subscribed to our channel and get those notifications, as the kids say, so that you know when new content is getting posted. There's other content outside of just our episode feeds. So make sure you're checking that out. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, S-O-C-A-L-S-E-A-N, at SoCalSean, right there on Instagram. And that's, of course, all of our photo content. Not all of it is Go Tell It to the Wall or Common Sense Sunday related, but a lot of it is related to things we talk about throughout episodes on the podcast, especially when it comes to show recaps and stuff. We had some new content going up there, new stuff that's in the hopper. It's going up this week, so keep an eye out for all that on Instagram. And then, of course, most importantly, make sure you bookmark SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's right, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's our official website. And you're going to find not only links to those things I just mentioned, those platforms, but you're going to find exclusive content that you don't find anywhere else. You're also going to find a link to our Patreon campaign. If you want to help us out financially, that's one of the best ways to do so. If you don't want to get involved with Patreon, you can also help us out financially by picking up some Common Sense merch through our merch website, which is linked directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. All right, now that that's out of the way, I know we've been off for like a freaking month, and there's no big reason. This was not really even a planned hiatus. It's just been crazy. Easter was very early this year, so we had that on March 31st. I actually found myself debilitatingly sick for like 4 or 5 days a couple weeks ago. I thought it was like food poisoning, and I maybe it was, but then I talked to some other people, and my wife included, who also got sick kind of after that. So I think there was a bit of a bug running around the local area, or who knows how widespread it is. Just, I feel like everybody's been sick this winter and now into spring. It's just like one thing after another, and I got hit by it. And then, of course, we had some crazy shows that I had to be out at on the past couple Sundays as well. So that really just ate up all the time between not being under the weather, having to hit too many shows, pulling other gigs. And, then of course, with my agency work, that has been ramping up because of our clients. And I also had to take time to go to the optometrist. I got some new sunglasses? No, new real glasses. And then I'm actually going to be, for those of you that want all the too much info, I'm actually going to be heading in for a minor surgery on this little sty I've got on my eye that just didn't want to go away. So they had to refer me to an ophthalmologist, and beginning of May is when that thing's going to finally be taken care of. So all that being said, that's why we've been off for like a whole month. It's just been crazy. I'm going to do my best to rein this one in. And I'll tell you now, we're going to actually push off some show recaps, because it's been crazy the past few weeks. Stuff that had happened between episodes, and maybe we're not going to have time to get to today, but we can save that for next episode, which should be happening next Sunday, barring any more sickness or craziness or shows that pop up. All right, now that we're done with the housekeeping, welcome to episode 126. Let's get into some digital trends here. Now, Twitter. Twitter has... I've been talking for years about the muck that is Twitter, and it seems like every day it just gets worse. And as I've said before, I really don't contribute anything to Twitter. I do scroll it. I find at one time it was a good resource for, you know, news and pop culture stuff, and and all that. And it's really, really has come to a head with good old elongated muskrat there. Now you open Twitter, and here's the thing. It is the algorithm, and I'm sure I'm not the only one experiencing this, but it's not an algorithm based on my search history. You open it nowadays, and it's pretty much a bunch of porn. I have noticed that, and I'll be the first to admit if it would be feeding me up pornography, because that's something I look at constantly. It's really not. I'm never searching for that on Twitter, but somehow it's not people I follow. If you do the, you know, you have tabs on Twitter, and you can just kind of scroll, and it's giving you people that you don't even follow, and in there find lots of pornography and a lot of spam. It's like OnlyFans spam, and this is somewhere where there actually has been useful community notes, I guess. I mean, not that I'm clicking on these things, but it says these are, in social media, you have to do like hashtag ad if it's an ad. Otherwise, you're kind of skirting the algorithm and all that stuff. So there's a ton of that going on. And of course, we've always had these conspiracy theorists, kind of, I would like to call them crazy sons of bitches. But that has ramped up like to a new level on Twitter. And then on top of that, lots of fighting, which I don't understand. I know that World Star, whatever, was very popular years ago. Can we get over this whole putting ridiculous fights all over social platforms? For some reason, Twitter's feeding that up to me. And then Tesla propaganda, which is really hilarious. Because if I talk to anyone in person, now I have friends that are Tesla owners, but specifically the Cybertruck, they're like, what the fuck is this thing? You go on Twitter now, and everyone's like obsessed with the Cybertruck. I sit there scrolling. I'm like, sir, you cannot have sex with a Cybertruck. That's not you. I mean, maybe you can find a way, but you really shouldn't do that. I'm getting that feeling a lot. And then a lot of people are just all about Elon Musk. In fact, I see a lot of, we must protect the great mind that is Elon Musk. So I want to take this time to remind everyone, Elon Musk didn't invent shit. He bought companies. And that's what I love, is people are like, oh, Elon and Twitter, we got to keep them safe. It's like, he didn't invent Twitter. He didn't found Twitter. He just spent a bunch of money to now own Twitter. And because of that, we're getting this ridiculous algorithm where it blatantly blocking and removing stuff that talks bad about Elon Musk. The most amazing thing about this is his whole thing was, we have to have, Twitter has to be free speech. You cannot remove accounts from. The dude is literally manipulating the algorithm to send out certain stuff and block other things. So that's not even an argument anymore. It's truly come to a head. And it's not even really an info resource anymore. I mean, I guess you can kind of find some stuff, but good Lord, the conspiracies, conspiracy upon conspiracy upon conspiracy. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that in mental health when it comes to arguing with conspiracy theorists. Just don't do it. So yeah, I wouldn't recommend getting on the good old Twitter there. I don't know what another resource is, but it just doesn't seem like it's useful anymore. It doesn't. Anyway, the other thing that's been popping up a lot, again, and I talk about this so much, but what I love now, and it's the prank videos. You know, we talked about a guy that got shot, you know, and it's like, I don't justify that kind of means, but I don't blame the guy, blah, blah, blah. It's getting better and better, because here's the thing. You have people harassing other people in public, and a lot of people are just not, they're not putting up with it anymore. I'm not saying you should turn around and punch a guy that's pranking you, but I'm not saying you shouldn't. I don't condone violence, but these people that think they're clever, want to get clicks, and blah, 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 need to learn that there's consequences. So I don't condone it, but I'm not going to have a big problem with it, because apparently that's the only way to get people to stop. And we are finding people. And luckily, these videos still get posted where they come up asking questions. It's like, I'm not interested in what you're talking about right now. There was one a while ago, like this guy just blatantly harassed this couple in Target and knocked over their shopping cart. And it's like, they're just trying to do some shopping in Target. Why are we doing these things? It's really unbelievable. The other one that gets me is there's a lot of female influencers out there. I like to go around and it is, in a way, it's prank, and they will like flash guys. You know, lift up their skirt or whatever else in a public space. And every time I see this, I just think, oh my God, if that was a male in like a trench coat and just started flashing people, that'd be a huge controversy. But because it's some cute, you know, woman influencer, oh, we'll just let it slide. No, that is also indecent exposure. Let's call it what it is. Let's be realistic and let's knock off the goddamn prank videos because I just cannot do it anymore. Just stop bothering people. People just trying to exist and live their lives. Like, what did George Costanza say? We live in a society, you know? Now I've got Pennywise stuck in my head. That's a Pennywise song for those of you not aware. But we live in a society. Let's have some respect for each other. Let people live their damn lives. It's gotten out of hand. The other thing that's gotten out of hand is these gym videos. And I will say, this one I would recommend following, and I don't think you have to do it on Twitter. You can probably follow on Facebook or whatever. There's a guy named Joey Swole. And trust me, you look at the guy and you're like, well, that's a weightlifting meathead. And there's nothing wrong with that. Weightlift all you want. Do the things. But what he actually does is he finds these videos that these gym influencers, you know, they set up their camera in the gym. And when they do something ridiculous, like maybe making fun of somebody, or in fact, there was one the other day where this guy got so mad because another guy was walking in front of his camera because he's filming at the gym, trying to film himself lifting weights or something, shoves the guy. And thank God we have people like Joey Swole who points this out. He's got a big enough audience and he knows gym owners and stuff. And in fact, a lot of times, for example, that guy that pushed another guy got banned from every LA Fitness in the country. Like, well, that is the definition of fuck around and find out. Now you have found out. You're not going to be going to LA Fitness anymore. And I've had a problem with this. You know, I used to, trust me, I'm well out of shape now. And when the pandemic hit is when I finally dusted off my own weights that I have at home. I got in decent shape, but I'm out of shape. There was years ago. That's why there's like triathlon stuff over my shoulder here. I was in a fantastic shape. Like you wouldn't believe, six pack, all that. I wasn't like a big muscle guy. I was an endurance athlete. But I'd go to the gym once or twice a day. I'm out riding. And back then I'd get really irritated when people were sitting filming themselves in the gym. This should be a place where people just work out. You know, and we talked years ago about a woman who rightfully got in trouble because she was filming another woman in the locker room, which that is a big no-no. There should be no cameras in the locker room. You shouldn't even have your damn phone out, especially if you're in the changing area of a locker room. Now, granted, I know there's little, like, you know, depending if you go to a nice enough gym, you got these little relaxing areas. Maybe that's fine. But either way, we got to knock off the filming at the gym. If you really want to be a fitness influencer or whatever the hell they call themselves, buy a couple of weights and do it at home. Knock it off in the public areas. And then, most importantly, and this is what this Joey Swole guy says, highly recommend following him, even if you're not like a gym rat, because it's just, he uses common sense, much like we do here at Go Tell It to the Wall. And, you know, he says, you know, if you do have to film at the gym, don't get mad at people for just doing their workout. They pay for their gym membership as well. It's not like you pay extra to sit there and film yourself lifting weights. And also, how many fitness influencers are out there? Do you really think your little weightlifting at the gym is going to make any difference? No. Knock it off. Stop the filming in the gyms. Another thing trending on the digital platforms, really just over the past day and a half, two and a half days or so, is the phrase, don't blame me. And this one's interesting because I was like, don't blame, what is this? And I saw it trending and I go to look and apparently it has to do with Coachella. Coachella over the past, and for those of you unaware, it is the first weekend of Coachella. It's actually a fantastic day to be in Los Angeles or the surrounding areas because a lot of people are out of Coachella and you get less traffic. It's a beautiful thing. I stay the hell home. You know, I'm not going out to Coachella just because I enjoy less crowds everywhere. But that's going on. And apparently the tech crew at Coachella, which would actually be whatever crew Golden Voice hired, they've been running into all kinds of issues, audio issues, stuff cutting out, stuff not playing. That was one that really got me. Somebody, I don't even know who the hell it was. It was like, I'm sorry, I can't control the speed on my tracks here. And because they had pre-recorded shit that they were just hitting a button on. Cool. Yeah. You're going to pay hundreds of dollars to go see this. You know, and someone's piano didn't work at all. It's really crazy. So apparently many artists were like, don't blame me. It's not my fault. And, you know, power to them because it's, I mean, outside of having tracks that you're just hitting play on, it's not their fault, you know, that audio stuff isn't working. Microphones aren't working. Instruments aren't working. But the sound's been cutting out like crazy. And a lot of them have been saying, don't blame me. Now, I'll talk about it as we get into entertainment news, but I did watch a little bit of Coachella and didn't see any issues. But I'm wondering if it's kind of the non-main stages that are running into these issues. You never know. Excuse me. Somehow I'm losing my voice, even though I haven't been yelling at a wall for a month here. Jeez. Blame it on all the shows. All right. One more thing here in digital trends. Gettysburg is trending. Yes. Here's another one where I said, why is Gettysburg trending? Well, let me tell you, wall fans. You might have already guessed it or seen it. Yeah, it has to do with the Orange Menace. Good old Trump there. He was giving some kind of speech, as he does like every other day, riling up his cult fan base, and pointed out how Gettysburg, the Battle of Gettysburg, was a beautiful battle, and how blah, 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 and talking highly of the Battle of Gettysburg. Now, I'll be honest, wall fans, I didn't pay a ton of attention to history when I was in school. That's why I went to film school. You know, I had to learn a little history in film school, but that was history of film. It's, you know, not American history, European history, that kind of stuff. But even I know Gettysburg was a pretty bloody battle. Many soldiers lost their lives, and that's kind of why Abraham Lincoln went there to give the Gettysburg Address. It wasn't a beautiful thing. So for those of you that think a battle where tons of people lost their lives is a beautiful thing, maybe you're supposed to be following the Orange Menace. But then you also might realize that you are, in fact, in a cult. It's just, like, I can't believe people believe shit that comes out of his mouth. And he said it. There's no, like, fact-checking here. He said it. It's on audio, but we accept that this is some kind of guy that is fit to be president of the United States of America who thinks Gettysburg was a beautiful thing. Jesus Christ. Like, I don't even know what to say to that anymore. All right, let's get into some mental health. I don't have a ton this episode, and I'll be honest, part of that is because I know we're going to be on a time constraint here. When it's been a while, when I haven't yelled at a wall for a while and recorded it, I tend to be long-winded with everything, so I didn't want to spend a ton of time on mental health this week, despite how important it is. We'll be back to the longer mental health segments as we get back up to full speed here. But what I do want to talk about is something we kind of hint on a lot and talk about a bit, is the feeling of helplessness. I mean, that Gettysburg thing is just one example. It's like I often hear sound bites of people like the Orange Menace, and I'm like, how do people believe this? How do people think this is a good thing? You know, and then obviously it gets much worse than that. We have multiple wars going on around the world right now. So much violence, so many people losing their lives. You know, we're looking at a veritable genocide there in Palestine, and it seems like the people who are speaking out against it are the minority. And that can make you feel helpless. The important thing there is to recognize that you can't fix everything. This is something that I deal with quite a bit with my mental health issues. When you have obsessive compulsive disorder, you get these intrusive thoughts, and you tend to obsess over, you know, the fact that Palestinians are getting killed by the thousands. But at the same time, as much as you can speak out about it, there's only so much you can do. We need leaders around the world to put an end to this. If you're just somebody sitting yelling at a wall, or, you know, somebody who has a passion for things, there's only so much you can do. So keep that in mind. You cannot change the world. You can try, and you can do your best, and you can do things within your means to speak out about it, but you're not going to be able to end it. And that's an important thing to keep in mind when it comes to your mental health and your mental illness. And one thing I'm always reminded of when stuff like this is happening is a fantastic quote from the late, great Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And he used to say, look for the helpers. Because like I said, it feels as though the minority is the one speaking out against violence and everything else right now. But the important thing is there are people doing that. There are people on the ground in these war-torn areas, not just in Palestine, but in the Ukraine and everywhere else that we're dealing with violence right now, who are making a difference. They're helping. As minimal as it can feel, they are helping to make a difference. And that can help kind of, I don't want to say make you feel positive about it, because you should still feel sad about it. You know, that's not going to change. But when you see that, it can give you hope that things will change in the future. So always look to those helpers. It helps you to see the good in the world. And be informed. This is what I always say. Be informed, but take breaks. You can't, you know, we have the term doom scroll, where you're just scrolling through social media and it's all bad news. You know, and I mean, that's been a saying since before I was even alive. The news is all bad news, because it is. That's what gets reported on. And now we live in a world where information moves so quickly that all you can just see you can scroll for hours and see nothing but bad news. So it's good to be informed, but not at the cost of your mental health. And find support when you feel overwhelmed. Talk to somebody about it. Maybe not even necessarily a doctor. Talk to a friend, family, because it helps to get those feelings out. And even if you're not looking for that particular person to give something back to you, it's good to just vent about it sometimes, especially if you deal with a mental illness. A lot of times, it's good to just talk. You know, maybe turn on the TV, turn on some reruns of a sitcom you love or something like that, and just take a break from it. And the other thing to keep in mind is we live in such a divisive world, and I talk about this a lot. Here's the thing. I've mentioned it before. You're not going to change anyone's mind on social media. If you're somebody that gets into those arguments and you enjoy it, that's fine. But know that you're most likely not going to change anybody's mind on social media. They're just going to get angry with you, and it's just going to turn into yelling, for lack of a better word, at each other over social media. So pick your battles. Don't get into it with people. I mean, like I said on Twitter, so many conspiracy theorists. You're not going to change their mind. You know, you may think you have all these ideas, and you could be 100% correct. But a lot of people, especially if they are conspiracy theorists and other things like that, they don't care. Facts don't matter to these people. These people that follow the Orange Menace, you know, have been following Donald Trump for years, they don't care about facts. They don't. They're just going to listen to what the orange one tells them. So it's not worth your time. Like I said, if you want to do that, but not at the expense of your mental health. Oh. It's been hitting me too, Wall fans. Every day you see news out of certain areas, and it's like, oh my God, what are we doing here? But nonetheless, let's move on to some positive news. This one's not going to be positive for everyone. But since our last episode, we have officially entered the baseball season, Major League Baseball. This is one of my favorite times of year. I'm a big baseball fan. I really enjoy going to games. I enjoy casually watching games on television. It is very much a pastime. I've enjoyed it ever since I was a kid. And we also, once we get into this time of year, it starts playoffs for hockey and basketball. So there's just constantly games to watch. If you're into watching any of those sports, now's the time of year, man. And we just came off March Madness, which is always exciting. And in fact, there's people that don't watch sports but do get into college basketball at that time because you end up seeing these crazy things and crazy upsets, and you know, it becomes very exciting. And in fact, recently we've seen a real increase in popularity of women's basketball, which I love to see because I'm a big WNBA supporter, a big NCAA women's supporter when it comes to basketball. Other sports too, but especially when it comes to basketball. I think it is a great product, and if you enjoy watching those things, you're missing out if you're not watching the women's side. And I will say, just not to make any of the baseball fans jealous, on Friday I did have the opportunity to go to my first Dodgers game of the season. It is April. Usually it takes me a little longer to get to my first game. And I'm fortunate enough to live not far from Dodger Stadium. I'm also fortunate enough to work with certain parts of the Dodgers organization. And we might have got hooked up with some fancy tickets for Friday. And I found myself sitting right on the netting. I had no idea until we got there that we were going to be in these super nice seats. A little extra padding. And you're right there. Like there's a net there, but I literally could have reached out and touched the dirt, like through the net. Not to mention all the free food. I never thought I'd be eating such fancy food at a baseball game. But highly, if you can, and I'm sure it's the same way at any ballpark. If you can get into the dugout club, oh boy, take advantage of that one. Because you can't beat it. Now I'm spoiled. Now I'm like, I don't know if I can go sit in these less comfortable chairs and not just get up and grab some food as I see fit. And I definitely stuffed myself silly on Friday. But a great experience. And like I said, personally, I'm happy it's baseball season. I know we have listeners that are baseball fans. Some Dodgers fans, some dirty Yankees fans. I'm kidding, Yankees fans. But we got all kinds of fans out there. Dirty Padres fans, though. No, you fans aren't dirty. I just don't like the Padres. Alrighty, that's enough positive news. We're going to get into more positive stuff when it comes to entertainment news. For those of you watching the video feed, I'm wearing a particular shirt today that I happened to pick up one of the weeks that we were not recording because I was so busy going to shows. And if you're seeing what band that is, you know what we're going to get into when it comes to entertainment news. But before we get there, let's talk some parenting. The attitude Attitude. And, you know, there's the term, if you're not a parent, you may, maybe you haven't heard it, but there's a term threenager, you know. And I experienced this because you used to hear terrible twos. Like when I was younger, the terrible twos, that's the toughest one. No. With my child, two was fantastic. Was no problem. Then they get to three and you're like, okay, now you're learning to question everything. You know, you're getting a little more independent. But then as they get older, they start, and my kid is nowhere near teenagehood, teenhood, whatever it is. But that attitude, man, is coming. And I know it's not just me because, and my wife says this to me often. She's like, is it our fault? And I'm like, no, if it's our fault, it's every single parent's fault. Because I talk to other parents and they're like, good Lord, I'm getting the attitude from my kid. I don't know if it's something in the water or what's going on. But that's what I'm dealing with. The eye rolls. Good Lord. I don't know where my kid picked it up. I'm not an eye roll person. My wife, a little bit. She's like, the eye rolls. It's like, can you throw away this trash? Oh, like, it's like, what's his face from Wet Hot American Summer? With pick that up. Oh. Like five people know what the hell I'm talking about. But I don't know what the solution is. Talk to other parents. They don't know what the solution is. What I will say is patience is key. You're just going to have that patience. Know that this too will pass. You know, that's the thing with being a parent. And I'm sure other parents out there can relate. When you're in the moment of something, you know, like the kid won't sleep. You're like, this is going to last forever. Doesn't last forever. You're going to move on to the next thing. And so, you know, hopefully the attitude gets a little better until we hit full teendom. Teendom? See, I'm just making up words here. And then the attitude's there. There's no getting away with that. And you could say, well, it's coming back around. No, I did not have a bad attitude. I mean, I was a teenager once in a while. You know, my dad would call me a smartass, and I was a smartass sometimes. But for the most part, I was an eye rolling and giving attitude and stuff. Clean up your shit. That's not a big ask. Why is this table covered in wrappers? Well, let's do that. Why are shoes being thrown everywhere? Why is there 15 sweatshirts on the floor here? Clean up. Not a terrible, not a ridiculous ask. Not irrational. All right, summer camps. Oh, God. I think I talked about this last year, but we hit the point this year. It really started, everything hit like a couple weeks ago. And as a parent, it's so difficult to sort through all the summer camp stuff. And this isn't even like send them away to camp, but when you have kids, summer rolls around, you got to work. You know, and obviously my kid's home a lot more during the summer than during the school year, but you still have to have stuff for them to do. And it's like Girl Scout camps and art camps and skateboarding camp and drama camp and then like the day camps at the rec center and so much to sort through. And then you got to sort through it right away because stuff just, it sells out like that. You're like, oh, let me think about this for an hour. And you go back and you're like, well, shit, every slot is sold out. So I feel for you, parents. But you got to keep those kids busy for Pete's sake. Like the other day I was driving home, ran into Jamie Allwright of the Allwright, and I'm driving down the alley because he lives, you know, off the alley as well. He's walking the dogs. And I was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, oh, hey, what are you doing? I was like, yeah, come back from tennis. Tennis class for the kiddo. Got to wear him out, man. You know, you don't want him just watching TV all summer. That's not a great thing for him. You got to have other stuff going on there, you know. All right. This is a big one for me that I want to talk about. And it often comes up. I've talked to many other parents that are, you know, debate sending their kids to private school and then, you know, want to transfer to a different area because they think that school's better. And I'm not saying there aren't better schools than others. Obviously, there are. But I think an important thing to keep in mind is regardless of where your kid goes to school, you have at least some power to make changes at that school. So that is the time, and especially if you have complaints, get involved. Make your voice heard. There's so many resources out there. And I'm thankful for our school. I'm very involved with the school. We have a booster club with the school that does all kinds of great things, raising money for the school, resources for the school. There's also other resources out there that it just takes someone using their time to get those things. Regardless of where you are, there's, you know, and again, here in Los Angeles, there's a lot more resources, but there's a lot more schools. But there's things like art grants. You can bring in organizations that, nonprofit organizations that do these things for free to improve your school. You know, get involved with a school site council, get involved with the PTA, whatever it might be. You can exact those changes. So instead of complaining about how terrible schools are, take it in your own hands. it's very similar to what I tell people and what I got told for years. You know, if you don't vote, you can't complain about the outcome. If you just sit back and drop your kid off at school and pick them up and don't get involved at all with the school, you can't really complain about the school. Any school, public, private, there is some kind of infrastructure for parents to be involved. And that's how you want to do it. And I've seen it with my daughter's school. I've seen it with other people's schools where they get involved and they have different programs that they bring in. Parents get involved, help raise money, volunteer at the school so that there's more people to do things. All of that's very important. So before you start complaining, keep those things in mind. Get involved. You have the power to get involved, to make your voice heard. And you can improve the school for your own kids and for other kids. Take the time to do that. And I know it's tough to find the time. Trust me. I'm constantly being stretched thin. In fact, right now, like from an agency standpoint, certain team made the playoffs. It was mad dash this week for me to just get everything done in time for the start of the NHL playoffs, let alone other things that are coming up. But find a little bit of time to do that. And most times when you do get involved with a parent group, they say, you know, whatever time you have, give us that time, even if it's just a few minutes, you know, maybe a couple hours a week, whatever it might be. Don't complain unless you take the time to get involved. All right. Common sense. Let's talk some common sense. I've got my mug of water here. I don't know what is going on with my voice. I'm close to a week removed from even going to a show. I did lose it a bit on Sunday. I'm not going to get in that show recap just yet because there's like 50 other shows before that. But anyway, let's get into some common sense. And if you want to go tell it to the wall mug, best way to do that is pick it up through the merch website that's linked directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com. It will not be this exact mug. This is a one-of-a-kind mug, but it will be very similar. It'll have the same logo. Nice little go tell it to the wall logo there. It's very fancy. Have your coffee out of it. Water like I usually do in the studio. Whiskey, bourbon, vodka. You know, holds all kinds of liquids. Soup. Cereal. I don't know if cereal is great out of a mug. You kind of need I recommend a giant bowl for cereal. Anyway, common sense. Man, I got fired up for that common part of that. My levels peaked there a bit. All right, I want to talk about sports gambling ads. Now, I believe, like a year or so ago, I was actually a big proponent of legalizing certain gambling apps, you know, for people. You know, I was like, well, I want to sit here. I enjoy watching sports. That's my reality television. I was like, well, I'd love to bet a dollar here and there and everything else. Well, it's really hit full saturation now. We're seeing all kinds of news stories about people reinvigorating or finding a gambling addiction because it's so readily available, that's a whole nother thing to unpack. Which, you know, and they caveat it with like, do you have a gambling problem? Call this. And it's like, yeah, okay. Well, you just told us for 5 minutes how awesome this gambling app is. But yes, well, please tell us how people have a gambling problem should call this number. But it has completely seeped into sports. And I know it's always been there. You know, but when I was younger, you had to go to some seedy bookie or go to a casino to bet on. Now it's just on your phone. And they are pushing the hell out of it like crazy. If you go on the ESPN website and you look at scores for a professional sport, they have the betting lines listed under it. In fact, ESPN now has their own betting app. So you can gamble right there. Every single time nowadays that they're talking about sports, they're adding this gambling aspect to it. And I got to tell you, it's gotten to be way too much. To the point where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to gamble a dollar here and there anymore. And that could be my little punk upbringing, but I'm like, well, no, if everybody's doing it, nah, I don't want to do it. But either way, it's too much. It has, like I said, it's always been there, but now it has completely overtaken the professional sports world. We have professional athletes getting in trouble for gambling on their own games, for God's sake. And if you know anything about the Ohtani story, we have his interpreter, millions of dollars. I don't know what the benefit is. It's money to places like ESPN and these sportscasters. You turn on ESPN Radio, they're constantly talking about multiple gambling apps. Like, it's so easy. You just go on your phone and you pick. It's like, okay, back it up a little bit. We don't need it this readily available. And we don't need you shoving it down our throats. So I'm sure even if you're not a sports fan, you've noticed this, because it's like ESPN bets and prize picks and I don't know, there's so many. It's just like, let's calm it down a little bit. Some of us just enjoy watching the sport, which is very much how I am. My daughter comes in all the time, and this was happening during March Madness, because, you know, I'm watching the game just for fun. I got them on in the background. Every time she walks in, who are we cheering for? I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's just fun to watch, you know. It's great to have, you can half pay attention to it. You know, hockey is the tougher one. You really got to pay attention to hockey, because suddenly you're like, oh, shoot. But like with baseball, you casually watch that. I'm like, oh, well, between innings, cool. Let me look at it, something else for a little while, and then, you know. Speaking of which, if you follow me on Facebook, there was definitely some, going back to the positive news stuff I was talking about, there was definitely some images of me on television, and I think everyone very much enjoyed the, there's a photo that my friend Kevin, who's also a fan of the show, pulled and sent to me literally while I'm at the game. I sent him a picture. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Dugout Club. And he texts back. He's like, those are great seats, dude. And he pulled screenshots. But there's a really funny one where myself, people I was there with, and like everybody behind me, because I'm in the front row, we're all making this like, oh, face, like, oh my God. And it's because Ohtani hit a home run. And so if you want to laugh a little bit, that one's on my Facebook. For those of you that are following me, my personal Facebook, it's not on the Go Tell Us the Wall page. It's my personal Facebook, which find me somehow. It's actually / Sean Michael O'Rourke. There's so many Sean O'Rourkes. That's why I joke. I'm the one and only Sean. Not even close, dude. But to all of you out there, all the Wall fans and common sensors, I am the one and only Sean O'Rourke. All right, food delivery app prices. This has been an ongoing thing. And I think we all know this, like DoorDash. You end up paying $1 billion for a delivery. You're like, can I get a cheeseburger and fries? And $50 later, you got a cheeseburger and fries. And granted, don't even get me started. We're going to talk about the myth of inflation in just a moment. You know, there's that. Yes, I get it. But it really has just gotten out of hand. And this one came to me a couple weeks ago. So my wife had left for something in the morning. And it was just me and my kid. And I said, oh, you know what? And we have McDonald's, like, right around the corner. So it's easy to walk there. You know, my kid has, like, a big dance recital. Okay, Happy Meal, you know. What do you want for dinner? We're going to have something special. Oh, Happy Meal. You know, okay. And it was, like, a Sunday morning or Saturday morning. So I'm like, you know what? Let's grab some McDonald's breakfast. She really likes the pancakes there. And like I said, it's right around the corner. But I'm like, you know, maybe I don't want to. We can stay in our pajamas, and maybe I'll just get it delivered. So I'm looking on there. And McDonald's on their app, they're like $0 delivery. So it's like, cool, I can do this. And you know, it seems very lazy, but it's because I'm here with my kid. And I'm like, okay, well, let me switch to the delivery thing. And immediately, this is where it's like immediate, because you can order through the app, and all these fast food places are doing it. And I do highly recommend it, because you end up getting better deals through there. And so I switched it over to like delivery, and everything automatically, every little thing increased by $1 or more. And I went, nope, that's not worth it. All right, kiddo, I'm going to order on that, but let's get dressed and let's go pick it up. It's really gotten ridiculous. Like, it's not free delivery. They could say, well, we're not charging you a delivery fee. Yes, but you have increased everything by $1 or more. That is essentially a delivery fee. And granted, I understand that delivery drivers need to be, that's nothing against delivery drivers. You want to do DoorDash and all this, that's fine, do it. But just keep in mind how much more you're actually paying for this stuff. It's getting out of hand. Which brings me to my next point, and that is the myth of inflation. I realize I am not a economics expert. Economics was another thing I didn't pay a lot of attention to in school. Like I said, I went to film school, for God's sake. We don't talk a lot about economics. Film economics, maybe, and the industry. But so I'm not an expert on inflation. However, it's very easy to fact check these things. Corporations can complain about inflation and rising minimum wage and all this stuff, but they really don't have a leg to stand on when they're still pulling in record profits. You know, we sit here, oh, the gas prices are, oh, they're astronomical and stuff. Yes, well, the gas companies, raking it in. They're printing money while they sit there and blame it on inflation. You know, here in California, we just had the law that finally came into effect, a $20 minimum wage for fast food workers. And of course, all the fast food corporate, oh, well, how are we going to survive? Well, maybe you're going to make you know, 5 billion instead of 5.2 billion. You know, you're still all rich. Your shareholders are still making money. Let's be fair to everybody and stop passing it on to the consumer. They hide behind this curtain of, oh, no, well, everything's so expensive. And granted, I get it with the smaller businesses. If you see a price increase at your local small business and it's like 50 extra cents on a sandwich, there is a chance that they are paying more. But the thing is, they're paying more for their produce and everything else from a large corporation who is not losing money. So keep that in mind. And if you are getting hit by this stuff, trust me, it's a lot. Thank God, my wife loves doing the couponing, and now you have apps and everything. You don't even have to, like, cut. When I was a kid, you had to sit there with the newspaper, and you're cutting coupons, and it's like, oh, my God, why am I? Now you just go on an app. Catch the sales. Get the stuff that's on sale. And don't be gaslit by these people that are, they post fake things. I saw it the other day, and it was like a, some kind of steak, and it might have even been a New York steak, which is a little pricier steak, but they had it, like, it was something like $120 or something, but because it was, like, listed as $60 a pound, and it's like, where the fuck are you buying steak like that? Like, just go to Vons, man. It's clearly doctored. So don't be gaslit by all that crap. You know, speak out against it. Oh, well, we have to pay our workers more. Too bad. So you make a little less money. Don't pass it on to me. It's not how that should work. People are struggling to make ends meet. We have the CEOs of these large corporations complaining about inflation while they count their money and sit on it like a fucking dragon. Give me a break. All right, O.J. Simpson, he died the other day. And I just want to say, it's okay to be happy in some cases. And like I said, when this happened, and I think my wife or someone else said, oh, did you see OJ died? I said, yeah, karma does eventually catch up with you. He was 76. He was a horrible human being. And, you know, if you want to come at me with the, oh, OJ was innocent. Okay. Talk about conspiracy theorists. Good riddance, but good memes. I will say I'm not a big meme guy. I mean, I catch them, you know, I don't understand this. I'm meme posting. People become popular for posting little photos. It's like, I mean, it's funny, but okay. Maybe take a few hours out of your day and don't sit there doing that. But man, O.J. Simpson memes were pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. And I love certain accounts. Like, there's the fake Satan account that really just posts funny stuff. And they're like, and they posted, O.J. Simpson's down here. What the hell? It's like, yeah, but that's probably where he is right now. So good. I usually say hail fellow well met. Good riddance. We don't need murderous assholes running around the face of the earth. They should all get karma. All right, entertainment news. Okay, we're gonna wrap up here soon. And like I said, I've got a bunch of show recaps that we're gonna push. Because I had a crazy few weeks in there. That was part of the reason we were missing episodes is the Sunday shows and everything else. One of the weeks in there, over the course of 8 days, I think I had 6 shows that I was out at. And some of them big shows, which we're going to talk about a couple of them now. But I got a lot to recap. But before we get into the recaps that I am going to talk about this week, I want to talk about who I'm listening to. This is kind of a double and a more recent show, but... currently listening to Empired. In fact, oh, I got a sticker right here. Giant bumper sticker for those of you watching the video. Oh, you hear that? Fresh new sticker. That is the Empired logo and their sticker there. Heard about them a while ago. And in fact, somehow I want to say somehow Kevin Smith became a fan, but I think it's a Josh Roush connection. Josh works with Kevin Smith and is also a big Empired fan. So I think got Kevin Smith into him, but they played a free show a couple months ago here in Los Angeles. Kevin Smith introduced him on stage. So they're very much on my radar. But I said to myself, I knew I had this show coming up at Alex's. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to wait. I want to see him live and see what the hubbub is about. Oh my God. The hubbub was not unwarranted. So Empire, they've only been around for about a year. They're a fairly new band. They have one album out. It is called Finding Calm in the Chaos. Highly, highly recommend picking that album up. I literally the next morning after I saw them live, I was like, well, I'm buying that album. Digital, I buy mostly digital albums just for space purposes. I'd have to start getting rid of Vans if I started collecting more physical music media. But highly, highly recommend it. There is actually a track featuring Brenna Red. Her husband is one of the singers and guitarist for Empired. They have multiple singers, but this isn't... it's more of a Blink-182 thing instead of a 311 thing where you got multiple singers that aren't playing instruments. Or everybody's playing instruments. They kind of switch off a little bit singing. And like I said, the Brenna Red track is fantastic. The whole album is fantastic. In fact, I was there with my buddy John. And, you know, I sometimes have these experiences where I'm going, oh, my God, this is fantastic. And I turn to him and he's like, oh, yeah, our faces have been melted. And I just went, yeah, they are absolutely fantastic. Follow them on socials. They're fairly new to the scene, but they're blowing up like crazy. And I cannot recommend them enough. And like I said, I had the privilege of seeing them actually at Alex's with Bad Cop, and a couple other bands. And their popularity is truly rising because I've been going to Alex's for years. And for those of you in Southern California that go to certain types of shows, you've probably been to Alex's. It's very chill. It's a little venue. It's in Long Beach. I've never waited in line to get inside. I've waited maybe behind one person to get a drink at the bar. We rolled up. I'm there with multiple friends. And we'd kind of seen there was a line. We're hanging out. I went to grab a bite across the street. There's a little burger place. And I like to go get a club sandwich there if I have time before shows. And I got down there early enough, and so I'm doing that. And I'm kind of watching. So we're like, we'll wait until the doors are open. Doors were at 8:15. We go over there, and I'm like, holy shit, this line is like snaking through the entire parking lot. Stood in line for like a half an hour. And I'm going, this is not normal for Alex's. And other people that go to Alex's regularly are like, oh, my God, this is not normal. And it was because of Empired, Get Dead, and Bad Cop. Bad Cop all have very, very vigorous fan bases that were trying to go there and check them out. And, in fact, the beer line was also very long. I get there, and I'm standing there with multiple friends, and all of us were like, well, I guess we're going to grab two beers each because I don't want to come stand in this line again. But outside of that, it was a fantastic experience, and like I said, make sure you're checking out Empired. They are so damn good, and of course, Bad Cop. Bad Cop killed it, as they always did. Brenna was filling in for Alex because Alex is, I think she just finished tour, but she was on tour with Fall Out Boy. It's always a treat to see Brenna from, oh my gosh, I'm having a brain fart on their name. The Last Gang. She's the lead singer for The Last Gang. It's always a nice little, I love Alex as well, but it's always fun to see Brenna rocking out with the Bad Cop ladies. All right, Coachella artists. So I last night, and you know, if you're into Coachella, you're into this punk and ska scene, you know, no doubt they got back together last night. They played Coachella. So I'll admit, I did watch the thing, and that's what I alluded to earlier. I didn't really see any audio problems there, but I have a feeling that was main stage. They're getting a little more attention than the smaller stages and probably having less of those audio issues. It was interesting, to say the least. Gwen seems out of her element, I will say, a little bit. There was a certain twang to her voice that I think has come from no longer living in Orange County, but now living in Oklahoma. But they all did a great job. It was very nostalgic. They played some of their older songs from the early 90s, and it was a nice treat. But the interesting thing was, I'm looking at the schedule because I'm like, I know No Doubt's playing at some time on this. And for those of you unaware, you just go on YouTube and you watch the whole Coachella. They just live stream everything, which is fantastic. Because I'm looking at the crowd at Coachella, I'm like, oh my God, I'd be way back there. I'd rather just be sitting on my couch, you know, cheaper beer in my hand, and not cheaper because lower quality. Just because they're probably charging you $30 a drink out there at Coachella. So anyway, I'm looking at the lineup, and I'm even reading off to my wife, and she's like, I don't know who any of those people are. And I'm like, I don't know either. There was literally like three that I knew. I caught a little bit of Blur. I know who Blur is, and No Doubt, and there was like one other. And I went, okay, well, the rest I don't know. And I don't know if it's an age thing or just different kind of music, whatever it is. And it's not to say it's bad music or anything. It's just, I made me feel very old. And a little bit out of touch, but I'm like, I'm not out of touch because I find new bands all the time. They're just not Coachella-type bands. So enjoy Coachella. You got another weekend of it next weekend. Maybe I'll look at the lineup and recognize more than two or three bands next weekend, but I doubt it. So that is Coachella. Check it out on YouTube if you want to. Shamrock Rebellion. Oh, I think I teased that one before we went there. That was happening down there at Silverado Canyon. Or Oak Canyon Park in Silverado, California. I always mix those up. The site of Punk in the Park when they do it in November, among many other festivals. So I headed out there on March 16th. And of course, Flogging Molly was great. Buzzcocks, fantastic. A lot of great bands playing that day. But I will say my biggest takeaway from it was Frank Turner. Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls. I have friends that are obsessed with Frank Turner. Absolutely obsessed. I was under the impression that he was kind of like a folk punk singer. Boy, was I wrong. And granted, I'm there with multiple friends that are big fans, and there with a couple of friends that are like, Frank Turner, I don't know. I had another experience where and my one buddy's like, come up close. Like, and we weren't at the rail or anything. Let's watch Frank Turner. Like one song in, I'm going, oh my God. I understand. He is not a folk punk singer. He's a straight up up there just rocking out. Very much British punk. He's British. And so if you're like me and you were like, I don't know, it's Frank Turner stuff, give him a chance. Because holy shit, was he fantastic. Definitely one of the best live performers I've seen in a very long time. And just fantastic music. All right, now, for those of you not watching the video feed, I am wearing a Green Day shirt. It is a brand new Green Day shirt that I picked up a couple weeks ago. For those of you not aware, Green Day decided to announce a show at like 10 a.m. on a Monday, I think it was. Maybe a Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday. For a show and for a on sale happening at 1 p.m. for a show the next day at House of Blues down there in Anaheim. An extremely small, not an extremely small venue overall, extremely small venue for Green Day, who currently is going on tour playing like stadiums. They're playing SoFi Stadium here in like August, I think. So small venue for them. Tickets sold out, bam, gone. Somehow I was lucky enough to get tickets, and our very own on-air producer, Bridget, Green Day is her absolute number one favorite band. They had a two-ticket limit, and I texted, Bridget was trying to get tickets as well. Was unable to get them. I said, I got them. We're going. And talk about an experience. Seeing them in a smaller venue, really, that we haven't been able to for so long. They played for like 2 hours. It was crazy. It was a set. Their set list included songs from their new album, Saviors. A bunch of songs from American Idiot, of course, because on their upcoming tour, they are playing American Idiot in its entirety, as well as Dookie in its entirety, because we are in the 30th anniversary year of Dookie. And anybody who's even casually listened to Green Day knows Dookie. That's kind of the album that put them on the map. And they did an absolute fantastic job. Was amazing to be there with kind of a smaller crowd and people just going crazy and losing their minds. And it made me feel like a bit of a kid again because of all the Dookie songs. And in fact, for those of you that are aware of it, Trey came out, and I know he used to do this a lot, but I haven't seen him do it in forever. And he grabbed a guitar and did the hidden track off Dookie, which was quite entertaining. He couldn't even keep a straight face during it. For those of you that know the song, you know what I mean when I'm saying he couldn't keep a straight face during it. But epic show. Crazy news that we got this week. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. One of my absolute favorite bands from the late 90s, early 2000s. In fact, I saw them really every opportunity I get. It was one of the bands I'd actually come up to LA from San Diego to see. That is a band called Homegrown. They're from Orange County. They have not played a show in 19 years. They broke up about 19 years ago. They randomly announced that they're coming back. They're playing with another band. I cannot remember the name of the band because I was just more enamored with the fact that Homegrown is coming back and they are playing Los Angeles in June. I believe they're playing the Novo Lounge or whatever it is. I didn't even pay full attention. I said, I need that ticket. Homegrown is back after almost 20 years of not playing shows. So it's going to be interesting. Homegrown, this is one of those bands. And one of the biggest things I said to my buddy, I was like, they better have T-shirts. Because I had like 20 Homegrown T-shirts. Because back then, Homegrown, they made a bunch of T-shirts, and still the case today. You go to certain smaller band shows, and you can get a $15 T-shirt. Well, back then, you get a $10 Homegrown T-shirt. So you just had tons of them because they made so many. And then, unfortunately, when my parents' house burned down, I had a drawer full of band T-shirts, and none of my Homegrown T-shirts were with me where I was living in Long Beach at the time. So really looking forward to hopefully picking up some new Homegrown T-shirts. All right, quick announcement, and then I'm going to talk about a couple upcoming shows if you want to catch me running around the Southern California area. This announcement is really only important for those of you that are Android users, and even if you're an Android user, specifically if you use Google Podcasts. So Google Podcasts, if you're not aware, and you might be aware of it, if you listen, use it, and you got the notifications, Google has eliminated the Google Podcasts app, which is where Go Tell Us the Wall and Common Sense Sundays and everything else is featured, and they have merged it with YouTube Music. So you can still access Common Sense Sundays and Go Tell Us the Wall episodes through an Android, but now it's on YouTube Music as opposed to the standalone Google Podcasts app. And if you're subscribed on Google Podcasts and want to shift that over to YouTube Music, it's really easy. Go on, click on the Go Tell It to the Wall, or actually, if you open up Google Podcasts, it's going to ask you if you want to transfer all your stuff. So you don't even have to click specifically, but if you're subscribed, click Transfer the Podcasts, and then it's going to pop it over into YouTube Music for you. Or I believe you can also just look up Go Tell It to the Wall on YouTube Music, and it should be popping up there now. I got to double check our RSS feeds, but I transferred mine over because I obviously... Shocking, I subscribe to my own podcast here, and it took like 2 seconds, went over there, so I know it's on there, and if you have trouble finding it, shoot me a message, I can check on the RSS feed, and make sure if you want to transfer it from Google Podcasts, make it easier for all of your podcasts, really, if you're someone that uses that for listening, do it before July, because after July, you won't be able to transfer it over anymore. You already can't use Google Podcasts, but it still exists there, so when you open it, it's like, do you want to transfer it? Yep, transfer it over there. But of course, everything's always ever evolving. I mean, the podcast used to be in Google Play Music, and then they went to YouTube Music and had a standalone Google Podcast app, and now they're putting it in YouTube Music. So it's not very shocking, but just a little announcement, housekeeping for those of you if you were not aware, and you do use Google Podcasts, or you have an Android, or use YouTube Music, and maybe you use YouTube Music and use something else for podcasts. Now you can have the podcast directly there on YouTube Music. All right. Do it before July. I'm looking at my notes. Sometimes I can't read my own handwriting sometimes. Shocking, I know. There we go. All right, upcoming shows. A couple shows you can catch me at around Southern California, specifically next weekend. Next Friday, I will be at the Tiki Room down there in Costa Mesa, seeing Chaser, Fourth in Line, and I believe somebody else is also playing. This is Chaser's first local show of the year, I believe. They have a new album coming out in June, I believe. So they're going to be, getting geared up for a lot of touring there. Really looking forward to seeing them at Tiki Bar. I love Tiki Bar. Chasers, of course, fantastic band. And I'm going to get some tacos on the back patio there at Tiki Bar. And then Buck09, Bite Me Bambi, Guttermouth, among others, performing on April 20th at the Gas Lamp down there in Long Beach. Also a great little venue with fantastic food. So if you want to catch me, next weekend, I will be out at both of those shows. Just look for the beard and the purple hair, and I will throw some stickers your way. In fact, we got some new holographic stickers with the classic logo, so maybe I'll bust some of those out over next weekend while I'm running around to shows. And like I said, we'll have more show recaps next episode, more where you can catch me around town, around Southern California, and of course, once we get into May, where you can catch me around Vegas for Punk Rock Bowling. But more of that over the next few weeks, so look forward to that. And we will be back next week. We got to get back to full strength here. It may end up being a Monday, but most likely it'll be Sunday. Don't have any shows or schedule conflicts right now for a Sunday unless I get another call. I keep getting calls for paid photo gigs, and I'm like, well, do I? All right, let's shift all this around. In fact, I missed a big show I really wanted to go to because somebody hit me up. They're like, can you come shoot? We got payment in the budget. I'm like, yep. I will miss the show where I don't get paid to go to the show where I do get paid. Sometimes you just got to do that. But either way, we will be back next week. Same wall place, same wall time. That's going to do it for episode 126. Before we go, make sure you're following us on all the social platforms, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Also, youtube.com/gotellittothewall or at gotellittothewall right there on YouTube. Of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. Don't forget to bookmark SeanO'RourkeLive.com, where you're going to find links to all those platforms as well as exclusive content you don't find anywhere else, as well as a link to our Patreon campaign and our merch website. Either of those are a great way to support Common Sense Sundays and Go Tell It to the Wall financially, so make sure you're checking that out. And like I said, a lot of new photo content is coming up through Instagram because we've been shooting shows like crazy. It's just got to sort through all the, it's an arduous process, Wall fans. All right. Like I said, this has been episode 126 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, Wall fans, until next time, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.